Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
You've got questions? O'Reilly Auto Parts has answers. Need a pro you can trust? We've got that too. No matter what you need, our professional parts people have the training and expertise to help you do things right. Deep automotive knowledge. Just one part that makes O'Reilly stand apart. The professional parts people.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Hello there, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another episode of This Week in History with me, your host, Dan the Viking. Now, this week, we have a very special guest coming on the show, and no, before you guess, it is not my dad this week. We have a very famous historian on the show. His name is Aaron Mankey. If I've pronounced that wrong, I'm sure he'll correct me during the show. Just a little bit about Aaron. So some of you may have heard of some of his stuff. Some of you may even have some of his books in your library. Aaron began his career in 2015 with the launch of Law. So I'm sure some of you may have seen the TV show for this, Law, L-O-R-E, or the podcast that's linked towards it. It quickly topped the charts and gained national attention, and over the years since, Law has racked up 500 million downloads. It's been adapted for television and on Amazon, and has published 3 books from his collection as well. Aaron has gone on to found Grim and Mild Entertainment, a production podcast company devoted to historical storytelling and entertaining people worldwide. In partnership with iHeartMedia, he has created and produced a number of other podcast hits, including Cabinet of Curiosities, which, I'll be honest with you guys, is one of my favourites, and we will talk about that during the show. Noble Blood and Unobscured. Most recently, he's been working on a few fiction products, including the annual horror anthology podcast 13 Days of Halloween. But we're not here to talk about that. We are here to talk about his new book, which is linked to his podcast, Cabinet of Curiosities. It is a fantastic book, ladies and gentlemen, and it does go on sale this month. He will confirm the date. I believe it's going on sale towards the middle or end of November. So, without further ado, we welcome to the show the fantastic Aaron Mankey. Lovely. There we go. So thank you, Aaron, for agreeing to be on the show. I really appreciate having you.
Obviously, glad to be here.
Yeah, no, I mean, I've got a copy of your book right here.
Absolutely. Nice.
I love it, honestly. What I find fascinating is I am a historian as well, and I find what you pick out, certain aspects of history are things that people don't know. And that to me is one of the most fascinating things about all of history, is there are so much that we're not told about, so much we're not taught about. And then the uniqueness of your topics, I find absolutely fascinating. You know, there's certain things in there, in the book. I don't want to give too much away, because I think for the concept of a book, you know, we want advertisement from here. So, there is so much in there and so many little details about things that I didn't even know. I mean, just personally, the one thing that really stuck out with me was you did a section on rats, about sniffing gunpowder. And that's never even been a concept in my head. But then how it's been used in history and things like that, it's fascinating. So what I want to know, and what I think people listening want to know, is what is it about this particular side of history, you know, the random intriguing topics, how did you come around to finding things like this?
Well, you know, I'm with you. I think that these are things that we're not often taught about. And I think that there's such an obsession with names and dates and timelines in teaching history. And that's a lot to take in. Ask any high school kid who's trying to memorize dates of, name the war, right? Name a war. And it gets really tricky. So with the head's already packed with names and dates and things like that, I think that the fun bits, the things that you and I get fascinated by, they get tossed to the side. And they're documented, but they just don't get talked about as much because they're not part of the rote history that we're supposed to be memorizing. So, for me, I think a lot of the appeal is being able to dig into a story that on paper, on the surface, has, it's a name and a date, it's an entry in an encyclopedia somewhere, but there's this real human element to it in the background, something bizarre and unique and fun. And once you uncover that piece, it puts the story or the person or the event in a whole new light. And I really enjoy that process.
Yeah, I mean, I absolutely agree, and I mean, I think with the way you bring it across as well. I mean, and I've read books. I mean, I find when you're reading certain books, I know you do the podcast with the same name, Cabinet of Curiosities, and I have listened to that. I'm not all the way through because you've got quite a few episodes on there, but I have started listening to them, and I like the fact that you do snippets. They're sort of 10, 12 minute podcast, and it's really easy to listen to. I find that fascinating. And then with the book, I thought, I get bogged down in history. I can sit there and read chapters and chapters on historical events and things like that. But I mean, I'm just gonna, I know the people can't see, but I'm just can open onto any page and you've got a section on a story. And it's maybe a page and a half long, and that's it, and it's done. And you learn so much more, I find, with such the little snippets of history. I mean, the one I found fascinating, and mainly because I did cover it in a podcast, was the Teddy Roosevelt the shooting. I mean, I love that, and I remember when I did that podcast myself, the amount of people that were like, I had no idea. He lived with a bullet in him for for most of his life. And it's like, yeah, it's fascinating stuff. But I mean, I had to really find that because obviously being a British person, we don't know a huge amount about American and history. But what is your process of going through and finding the vast amount of subjects that you've got?
Sometimes, well, it's different for every story. There's a lot of rooms. Sorry, there are a lot of doors to get into the room of a good story. And so, sometimes it's you'll see a reference in an article about something, and it mentions an event or a person, and it's very bizarre. I found a few interesting ideas just listening to audiobooks by Bill Bryson. Who. He's got a great book called At Home, which takes you on a tour of mostly English history from the vantage point of this rector's house that he lived in, this rectory that he lived in England. And so in the kitchen, everything that he talked about is history of eating and cooking in England. And every now and then you're listening along and it's all interesting, but a name jumps out or some weird coincidence jumps out, and that's a spark, and I've got to go chase that down. I'm thankfully blessed with a team of researchers and writers who are around me, who work for me. And so I've got people who are out there kind of actively looking for stories. Sometimes they come from things like, we think of Wikipedia as sort of like a good first summary of an event or a person's bio. It's not the end all be all, but it is a good place to go. A lot of good articles on Wikipedia have footnotes. But one thing that Wikipedia has that I really love is they have a ton of lists. And so you can go looking for like lists of unusual deaths, and you'll find really interesting stories in there. It's just, I take the stories as they come. The trick is really not where to go to find them. It's when you find them, how do you capture that idea right away? So for us, it's a lot of, let's just mark that down, put it in the spreadsheet, get that thing filed away for later so that it's there and we don't forget about it.
Yeah.
Because history has a lot of these things to stumble upon. That's the beauty of it all.
It does, yeah. I mean it's I the little things that you do, I mean I love them, but I always think there's so many untold stories as well, which is what you're sort of picking up on is I remember I don't know if you've I haven't read all of your book, I'll be honest with you. It's I only got it last week, but with certain aspects, I mean, my dad, I don't know if you've ever listened to my podcast, and my dad is a historian as well. He comes on the show every now and again, and he did an episode on the Titanic, and some of the f survivor stories off that are unbelievable. But there's one that always sticks with me, and if you haven't covered it, then please, please do. It's a lady who was on the Titanic when it sunk. She then was on three other ships that all sank, and she survived all of them. I can't remember her name off. My dad will know, but off the top of my head. But I find they're stories in human history that people just they're forgotten. You wouldn't know if you, but the list you're talking about. What I want to know is you've got these lists of obviously events, and you've got certain things in your book and that you've covered in your podcast. Is there anything that you either won't touch, or there's not, it's not something that you'd want to do, but there are things out there that, maybe need a bit more research, or certain things that you just can't really explain?
One of the things that happened really early on with the podcast, which is, I think, like 6.5 years old at this point. So, we've been putting out, as you mentioned, there's a lot of episodes. There's over, I think, over 600 of them at this point. And it helps that they come out twice a week, and there are two stories in every episode. So every week we get four new stories. So, I recorded a batch of eight this morning, and they were in the 1350s or 1360s as far as story number goes. So there's a lot of them, and there's only about 200 in the book that you're holding. So we have a lot more on the show. And what happened really early on was, because these are short, you mentioned a couple of pages long in the book. On audio, they're 3.5 to 5 minutes long, depending on the material that we have for it. What happened was, a lot of teachers who are lovers of information, they're lovers of good story, started to realize that, oh my gosh, a 3-minute story, a 4-minute story, that's perfect for a grade schooler who has a short attention span. And so, Cabinet very early on started getting played in classrooms across America as a way to teach history to kids, to show them that it was interesting, it could be delightful, it could be weird and unusual, and do it in a time frame that kids and their short attention spans could handle. I know that not all my listeners are kids, but because I know that a lot of kids listen, that is sort of a guardrail that I try to maintain of, let's avoid gratuitous violence. Let's avoid, let's make sure that it's more PG rated than R rated, in movie terms, just because I don't want to frustrate teachers who are trying to play new episodes for their classroom, or parents who are playing it for their kids on the way to school in the morning. So for me, if I do say no to a story, it's often just because it's too dark, it's too violent, maybe it's too sexual, something that might not be the best for kids of a certain age. Outside of that, we've covered stories that have ended up not being true. You just have to be honest with the listener about that. Tell a good story, walk them through it all, and then say, this is a fantastic story, but the sad thing is it's not actually documented as fact. And here's why it spread, because story is powerful and people love telling great stories, and the lie caught on. And I think you can still have good episodes that way by just letting people know, here's a fun story. Turns out it wasn't real, but it's still fascinating nonetheless.
I totally agree. I mean, I've done a lot of things in my research, when I'm doing podcasts, that you look at it and you think, oh, this is fantastic, and then you find something that contradicts it, and then you find something else that contradicts it, and you're thinking, all right, maybe this isn't right. And I mean, obviously with mine, I have to readjust what I'm doing. But I mean, I find that fascinating that you're at a level where you're getting played in schools to students. I think that's amazing. So congratulations from one, I think that's unbelievable. And yeah, I understand now obviously the level of what you're doing. I mean, have you ever considered maybe doing a slightly darker podcast where you are covering some of the more non-PG stuff?
Well, and I do, for almost 10 years now, I've made a show called Lore, LORE. That's the show that was, there's a 3-book series out. Amazon adapted it for 2 seasons of a television show. I have some awards
Yes,
over
I've
my
seen
shoulder
that. I
right
didn't
there
realize that was
from lore.
yourself.
Yeah, so that's lore. So lore is sort of like a grown-up, longer version of the stuff you get on Cabinet. It was the
Wow.
first show I made, and so I always saw lore as the middle ground, Cabinet of Curiosities as the short form content, and then for four seasons, I also made a show called Unobscured, where we took one topic and covered it over the course of 12 episodes. And so, lore sits in the middle at just 30 minutes per topic, and Unobscured was, 10 hours on one topic. And
Wow.
the longer you go, the longer an episode is or the longer a season is, often the darker you can get. Kids don't have the attention span to sit down and listen to 12 episodes, whether in grade school, on Jack the Ripper or the Salem Witch Trials. But so you're able to be a little bit more descriptive of what's happening. I just as a personality trait, though, I'm never one to, like describe the gore just to have shock value. For me, that's not helping the story. The storytelling shouldn't depend on flash and shock. It should depend on good writing and how you lead the audience from point A to point B. So they don't all get very gory, but lore and Unobscured were certainly more so than Cabinet.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely agree. A good story should hold its own merits, and I totally agree with that. I do want to know, because obviously we're here to talk about Cabinet of Curiosities. What is your favorite story that you've researched, that you've found, that maybe not the favorite that from your listeners, but your particular favorite event that you sort of think, this is my,
Well, it's hard to pick after close to 1400 stories, one favorite. There are some that always come to mind as sort of deeply representative of what Cabinet is at its core. There's a story in the book about the production that went into making the movie adaptation of The Wizard of Oz. And The Wizard of Oz is, L. Frank Baum writes a novel. We all know Dorothy and Toto, and You're No Longer in Kansas, and all those things, the wizard, the scarecrow. But when they were making the adaptation that we all know from TV, where it starts out in black and white, moves on to color, and there's the singing, and Judy Garland is starring in it. What we don't get to see is all the work that went into making the production. And one of the things that they really wanted to get right was the wizard himself. They wanted him to be wearing a really fancy top coat, something that had a nice classic look to it and really showed him off as sort of a showman, And the production crew went around Hollywood looking through secondhand clothing stores for the right top coat for him. And when they found it and brought it back to the studio to get it ready for filming, again, this is L. Frank Baum's novel being adapted for film, they look inside the jacket. And the tag says LFB. And it turns out that the jacket had been Baum's jacket, handed
Wow.
in at some point to a secondhand shop, and it ended up on the production of the movie. Now, that's a story that goes back to at least the marketing of the film. And as far as I can tell, nobody's ever disproven it. And I love coincidences like that. I love when it shouldn't have happened, right? It's so coincidental that it should not have ever happened, and yet it did. And those are the stories that are super delightful.
I mean, I'm sort of sat here in awe. I've never heard that story. I mean, when you talk about The Wizard of Oz, I mean, I always go back to the gory side of it, where they you hear the thing about the munchkin in the background, and that's where I go with Wizard of Oz. But yeah, I mean, that's fantastic. I mean, I'd never knew that. So, but this is the sort of thing that I love. I mean, this is the part of history that you can sit there and, you can sit there in an hour lesson or a lecture and listen to your teacher. And to be honest, how much of it really sinks in? Like you said, how many of us have been bogged down with dates and times and, places? I mean, I even get confused with certain places sometimes. And it's just, when it's such a little snippet like that, I mean, you're gripped on a story that only lasts a couple of minutes, and you can really take in the information. So I love that. And I think from this, I hope you do get a few more listeners to the podcast, because I said I have listened to a few episodes, and
I am working my way through. Like you said, you've got nearly 600
It's
episodes. There's quite a lot to
a
get through
lot.
there.
Yeah.
But they're fascinating, and they're really easy to get the information in, because of the way it's done. So I love that. I mean, I've been obviously, I'm assuming, it's one of your colleagues.
Lowe's knows you want to get even more value for the holiday. That's why as a MyLowe's Rewards member, you get new member deals on holiday decor, tools, and more. And you earn points when you shop. More points equal more rewards to help you save on holiday and more. Not a member? Join for free today at Lowe's.com/MyLowe's Rewards. Because Lowe's knows deals. Program subject to terms and conditions. Points are awarded on eligible purchases. See Lowe's.com/terms for full details. Subject to change.
Who sent me some emails in regards to getting you on the show. So I want to say thank you to them as well, because you know, having this type of dialogue, I think is fascinating. He did send me a question to ask you, which I really would like to ask, because it's something that I've not actually asked people before. And he's put on here, if you could travel back in time and have a conversation with any historical figure you've researched, who would it be? But I would also like to know, is there anyone in history that you haven't researched that you'd be interested in talking to?
I don't know that I have ever said no, you know, aside from the content conversation we just had about violence and gore and things like that. I don't know that I've ever said no to a character. If they've done something that makes for a good yarn to, you know, just a really good story to tell, man, I'm all over that. And I have to say, there's probably a disproportionate amount of stories on my podcast and in the book that are somehow connected to some weird, eccentric British lord. And I don't know why that is, but there are many of them. And they've done some really bizarre things. So yeah. I've just learned that, you know, honestly, like everybody at some point in their life does something very weird or out of the ordinary. And sometimes it pays off. Sometimes we get a great story or a cool invention or something that changes the world. So I don't know that I'd say no to anybody or that there's somebody missing. I'm just going to take them all as they come. As for who I would go back in time and have a conversation with, I mean, if we assume language is no barrier, I am not seen as a threat and need to be thrown in jail like some, you know, Connecticut Yankee in King Arthur's court. I don't know that I could pick. I think I would probably love to talk with Shakespeare for a variety of reasons, to confirm that he was the author of the plays we attribute to him. I know that scholarship says that he was, but there are always those who doubt.
Yes.
To just to pick the brain of somebody who accomplished so much in such little time and changed the world and the English language so much. I mean, he invented, I don't know what it is, something like 500 words that in the course of writing his material that ended up in the English language that we use today, whether it's a word or you know, a term or a phrase. So yeah, he'd be a real fun guy to sit down and interview.
Yeah, I mean, I love that. I mean, and I love the fact that you've picked a British person as well. I mean, I find that because if I'm honest, I mean, I would love to go back and see someone like Ulysses S. Grant. So I mean, I'm going back to an American side, but mainly because I want to know if he really was the alcoholic that everyone said he was. But but it's things like that. I mean, I find that fascinating, and I do love like Shakespeare. I mean, wow. I mean, if it's all true. I mean, I've never seen any evidence. I mean, I've read all the conspiracies and things like that, but I'm on the same page that, you know, history has to prove something different happened, and it hasn't. So as far as I'm concerned,
right.
I mean, you got to look at, you know, factual evidence. But I mean, I love that, and I do want to say one thing about the book. Is it available? You know, can people go out and buy it? Or I know it's on your podcast, it says pre-order now. So is it available, or am I just one of the lucky ones that's got a copy early?
You've got a lucky early copy right there. It comes out on November 12th here in the US. It'll be in hardcover. So we're counting down. We've got about a little less than a month left on that coming out. I'm going to be on tour for my lore podcast. I go out and do live performances across the country, and I'll be on tour the week that the book comes out. So I'll be doing book events at the same time and selling the book at the live shows. So we're hoping to have a good time with it. You're
gonna
one
I'm
of
gonna have to
those
look into
lucky
this.
early folks.
I want to have a look at the other podcasts. I mean, I've heard of Law, the TV show. I didn't realize that was yourself. I'm gonna have to listen to the podcast now. You're giving me something else to listen to while I'm at work. But I'll be honest with you, for anybody out there who is into history, is a qualified historian, or even someone who just likes the weird and wonderful things. I mean, like I said, I've had this book a week and I work 60 hours a week and I'm already about halfway through it. So, yeah, I work 60 hours a week. I've got kids at the weekend. I don't really find spare time, but I almost can't put it down. So for someone who is, if you know anyone who's interested in history, and what I'd say, I mean, that's a great day to get it coming out in November, because you're just in time for Christmas. That's fantastic. I mean, I genuinely, I might even have to order a copy of this for my dad, just for myself. Go, I'm gonna have to get him one because it's really, really fascinating, and there's some really cool stuff in there. And I mean, yeah, I'm sitting here flicking through the book. I'm supposed to be doing an interview, but this is how. I mean, it is really, really good, and I do want people to go across and listen to the podcast as well. Because I mean I know it's is it produced by iHeart Podcasts, so
They're my production partner on the podcast. Yeah, and the book is out through St. Martin's Press.
yep.
And I want to know, did you read the introduction of the book?
Do you know what? That's the one thing I didn't, because
You
I
should so you
normally
should read
skip
it
through
because,
that.
yeah, well, as a Brit, I start the book off by saying, let me tell you about one of my favorite rooms in the entire world, and it's the Enlightenment Room at the British Museum,
I did
which
read
is
that. Now
okay,
you've
good.
mentioned it. Yeah, the British Museum with all the books in the background. Yes, yes.
It's the room that's super long. It's like dark wood, parquet floor. It's one of the older parts of the museum, and it is literally a cabinet of curiosities. There are a lot of things in cabinets, but it started out as a collection by some, eccentric European who gathered a bunch of objects together in what would be called a cabinet of curiosities. And then those throughout history, when those were donated to institutions to be kind of preserved, that's where museums came from. And that room at the British Museum is probably one of my favorite places to just walk and look and, let things catch my eyes. It's a magical place. It really is.
I'm going to shock you now. As a Brit who's into history, I've only ever been to the British Museum once, and I was born in London, so
There you go.
that's quite shocking, to be honest, though. However, I have got friends coming over this year. They're coming from Florida, so they're coming over to London to meet us and have a chat. And I will be taking them into that museum because it's wonderful. But
Yeah,
yeah,
it's great.
I'm going to have to make sure next time I go in, because I will be going back into the British Museum. I'm going to have to go into that room and see if I can pick out what you're talking about and certain next. Yeah, but I mean, I really do. Do you have a website or a link? If you can send me a link to maybe an Amazon store or website or anything like that, any links that you've got for your podcast as well, because my listeners, they will, I know they will come across and listen. I'm probably some of them actually listen to your podcast now, because I know we get some who, they message me, they go, oh, listen, have you listened to this podcast or that one? So some people do go across platforms. But yeah, I mean, if you've got any links or anything like that, just get your publisher to send them across, because I will put any descriptions or anything like that in the show notes for people
Definitely
to,
will. Yeah, for
yeah.
sure. And I
And
appreciate that. Thank you.
no, any time. I mean, if I can help out, I will do. I mean, I do want to say as well, for anyone listening, I know it is produced by iHeart Podcast, but I get it on Spotify, so it is available. I know some of them are, genre specific, but this one isn't. So, I love it. I'll be honest with you, I mean, I've had a few people on the show with books, and I do find sometimes they're very mealy, the books, very, there's a lot of information. And what I love about this is the information is there, but it's bite size. And I keep up the good work, obviously. And if you have any more, any more stories or anything like that, if you ever do come up with another book or another podcast, please do come back and share it with us, because I'd love to have you back on. And I'd love to actually go into depth on some of these stories, you know, over the course of a good conversation, because there's so much in there. And the fact that you've said, which has just shocked me, with the fact that you said there's probably 200 stories in this book and
right,
well over 1,000 on the podcast. Yeah, there's quite a bit of information there. So, I mean, have you got any questions for me or for my listeners that I might be able to answer?
You know, I'm just grateful for a chance to sit down and talk about history. You know, I mean, as a history lover yourself, you know, it's always, you can't always find somebody to talk about history, but when you do, it's always a pleasure to share that joy, that passion. Yeah, definitely. And it must be amazing to have a dad who's the exact same way as you. So good for you.
Yeah. Well, he's my, inspiration to getting into this. And, you know, it's,
nice.
Yeah, it's one of those things we bore everyone in our family when we talk about it, but
I mean, it's what you love, right? It's your passion. Absolutely. So why not talk about it? Yeah.
Yeah.
Like I said, I've been doing this for close to a decade now. In everything that I do, whether it's cabinet or lore or any other show, it is research that, you know, we plan it out, we do the research, we write the script, I record that. And I produce lore myself still after 10 years. But I really do try to come at this. I'm not a trained historian. You know, my college degree is in psychology. I don't get to use it much, you know, other than trying to put myself in the place of people that I write about from history. But I really do try really hard. And it was only recently, maybe in the last couple of months, that I took the courage to put historian in my social media bio. Because I figure after a decade of doing this, I don't know, maybe it counts for something that I'm doing due diligence and upholding standards and, you know, giving history a good name. So, yeah.
I totally agree. To be honest, had you not have said that, I wouldn't even have questioned it. I would have just assumed your degree was in history. It was just because of the way it's written, because of the way you come across and you present the evidence and things like that, I would never even have questioned it. So,
Where people can tell is in my writing style, where I'm not writing, you know, that academic, you know, history paper per se that somebody might write for school, grad school, whatnot. I try to write a bit more conversational because look, you know, at the end of the day, it's going to be recorded as audio and somebody's going to put their headphones on and they're going to listen to it. And I don't want them to feel like they're listening to the audiobook version of, you know, the Scientific American Journal. I want them to get good storytelling. So I do write them a little bit differently. That's part of the, you know, if the editing process to get the book made was going through all of my scripts and changing my date formatting and, you know, changing the way that I reference locations or currency, just to translate it from a verbal script to something that will be printed and be a little bit more up to the standards, like, you know, Chicago style or whatnot. So I guess at the end of the day, if anybody wanted to see if I was really writing in the history paper or not, they could look at my scripts. But you know, I think if you're paying attention to dates, you're trying to be as accurate as possible, you're running things through multiple sources, and I put a bibliography for all my lore episodes on the lore website. Cabinet's too small, too short. And iHeart doesn't really have a platform for bibliographies online, but you know, we try to do the best work we can to make sure that the information is, you know, respected and documented, and then tell a good story. At the end of the day, like, that's what it should be about. Let's tell a good story.
Absolutely. Yeah, I totally agree. And you know, the writing styles of people, I mean, I think with, like you saying, obviously with Cabinet, you've got this almost like a minor, but a younger audience. The way you write that is perfect for that. I mean, it is, and for people who are, I mean, I will actually start playing some of this for my children, because my kids, they love history. They hate it when I talk about history, because they get really bored. You know, it's like, dad, listen to this story. You know, my daughter at the moment, she's 10 years old. She's going through a Tudor England phase at school. And she's talking about Henry VIII. And I'm like, Henry VIII is the most boring king in English history. And they're like, no, he's fascinating. I'm like, he's not. He
My
had
gosh,
six
no,
wives.
Not at all.
He had six wives. Yeah. That's it. He's boring. He is boring. It's, you know, but trying to explain that. And she's like, no. Oh. I'm like, no, Elizabeth the First, much more interesting. But yeah, it's trying to explain that sort of things. And
yeah,
they get bored of it. And I think the way you come across with this podcast, because I can sit there for hours and talk about it, and they do, they just switch off. You don't get time to switch off with your podcast, because by the time you've heard it, you're on to the next story. And it's like,
yeah,
I love that format. I might actually start doing something a little bit similar with mine now to try and bring in that audience. Cause I love that. Well, I love the way it works.
I think that sometimes people lack a focus, if we're going to talk about King Henry VIII, you and I could sit down and talk for hours about him and not cover everything. And that doesn't mean that, well, the episode we make about it has to be hours long. What it means is you have to plan what kind of story do you want to tell about him. And I don't mean editing history to suit our tastes. I mean, what part of his life, what adventure from point A to point B do we want to take guests on, you know, these listeners on. And that means when I publish an episode, I'll get listener mail that says, hey, you know, I loved your episode on this topic, but you left out X, Y, and Z. And my response is always, I didn't leave anything out. I didn't need it to tell this particular story. Henry VIII is very interesting because I learned recently he's not the oldest. He had a brother who was older than him.
Yes.
His father was obsessed with Arthurian legend. And so he named his first son Arthur. Even though tradition kind of dictated that he should have named him Henry, because he really wanted to have a King Arthur in the family. Like, his dad was obsessed with this. And then Arthur died in, I think, late teens or early 20s.
Yeah, he
and
just got married to
Henry was sort of
Catherine.
And King Henry VIII, you know, Henry was sort of like a backup plan. And so when you look at him through that lens of, here's a guy constantly trying to, like, appear to be better than his, you know, his dad's favorite, his brother Arthur, and trying to be more. I feel like he had some daddy issues, you know?
Oh yeah, definitely.
Yeah,
definitely. And I think he came from this, the old Plantagenet line. I mean, obviously the Tudors usurped the crown almost. And I think he looks back to one of the things he even said himself was he aimed to be like Henry V. Who was the winner at Agincourt, who defeated the French, the first king of France, started the Hundred Years' War, all of that stuff. It's he sort of had this idolization of older kings, and I don't think he really had that for his dad. His Henry VII left one of the richest pots for a king to come into power with, and he pissed it all up a wall pretty quick.
Very quickly.
Yeah. So, he's not, I mean, I find I did an episode on Henry VIII and I got a lot of, you haven't really given that much detail. And I'm like, there's not a huge amount there. I mean, he had six wives. He annoyed the Pope and decided to have his own church. Other than a lot of heads rolling, there's not much, there's no real substance there. He didn't conquer another country. He didn't win any major battles. He died from a wound that he got in his 30s. There's not much, but I mean he goes down in history as one of the greatest kings in England. I find that fascinating. But we could sit here for hours and talk about this. I do want to say again, like I said obviously earlier, I do thank you very much for coming on the show, and if we get any feedback, or if I get any feedback from any of my listeners, I'll forward it to your publisher and let them know. Because obviously we're in it together. So if you we'll stick to it, and if I can help anyone out, I will do so. Thank you very much for your time. And like I said, anyone who wants to go out there and get it, Cabinet of Curiosities out on the 12th of November, you said?
Yeah, that's correct.
12th of November. The podcast is available now. You will have a big back catalogue as well. So if it's not something you've not listened to and you're getting bored of my episodes, go out there and have a listen, because there's so much on there, so much information. And it's great. It's a really, really good podcast. And like I said, I'm probably going to sit there tonight and read the rest of this book, because I'm currently sat on my own in a bedroom. So yeah, I think this will be the rest of my evening. So thank you very much for joining
Fantastic.
Us, Aaron. I really, really appreciate it. And yeah,
thanks, Daniel.
No problem. Thank you. Bye bye.
All right. Cheers.
Lowe's knows you want to get even more value for the holiday. That's why as a MyLowe's Rewards member, you get new member deals on holiday decor, tools, and more. And you earn points when you shop. More points equal more rewards to help you save on holiday and more. Not a member? Join for free today at Lowe's.com/MyLowe's Rewards. Because Lowe's knows deals. Program subject to terms and conditions. Points are awarded on eligible purchases. See Lowe's.com/terms for full details. Subject to change.